Have you ever thought, I'd love to have a nicer house. I'd love to have a better car. I'd love to have more money. Now, don't nod your heads unconsciously. Someone will be offended or hurt. Or maybe you've thought, I wish my wife was more pretty. I wish my husband was more handsome. I wish my spouse made more money. I wish my kids were more obedient. I wish they would go off to Harvard or Yale and become doctors and lawyers, be rich, and I could live comfortably in the in-law suite attached to the mansion. Or I wish my parents were more cool. I wish they had more things. I wish they weren't so weird. I wish my parents were better. And unconsciously, we'd always maybe, or at least sometimes, prefer to have a better spouse or husband, wife, children, parents, and we're stuck with the ones we've got. At least those who are resentfully committed to the commitment of marriage or their family. As many see that, feel that, leave and move on. Well, here, the people God freed from slavery in Egypt now have rejected him, worshipped a false god. They've become stiff-necked, refusing to obey the Lord. And God gives Moses this great opportunity. Hey, you see all these people that are a total pain in the neck, that won't listen to you, that won't listen to me, that aren't grateful for what we've done? If you'd like, I'll slaughter all of them and give you a better people. Huh? What do you think, Moses? Imagine if God appeared to you and said, you know your kids that are totally disobedient and won't do anything you say and won't help in the house and are completely ungrateful? I will slaughter them for you and give you better ones. Huh? And it's God making the offer, right? Oh, those parents are so weird or don't understand you or don't get you the things you want. I'll take care of them. We'll get rid of them. And I'll give you somebody rich and awesome and powerful and wealthy and famous and cool that all your friends will like. What do you say? Moses said, but Lord, these are my people and they're your people. They're the people that we have. How can you go back on your promise of marriage? Of your covenant. How can you go back on them? I know they're stiff-necked. I know they're difficult. I know they won't listen. But they are your people and my people, and you are our God. And so spare them. Moses reflects the heart of God the Father toward us. Yes, the reason why Christ suffered and died was not because of the Jews, then or now. It was not because of the Romans then. It's because of your sin and mine that he suffered and died on the cross. And God could have instead said, let me wipe them from the face of the earth like he did in Noah's time and start over. But he realized, these are my people. In spite of what they've done to my son, in spite of what they do to me, I will love them anyway. Until we realize how incredibly loving and merciful the Father is toward us and are filled with gratitude, we will never be able to be that way to one another. Our musicians sang the psalm today, I will rise and go to my Father. Well, why? Why are you coming to him today? Maybe because you have to, because you're in religious head, even though, frankly, God's commandments are more important than our requirements. Or maybe you have to because your spouse made you, or your parents made you, or your kids insisted maybe. Why are you here? You know, maybe you're not here for all the best of reasons, for perfect reasons, and neither was the prodigal son. If you listen carefully to the gospel today, he didn't go back to his dad because he was sorry. He went back to his dad because he was hungry. After squandering all of the money given to him, after wishing his father dead by demanding the inheritance ahead of time, and by proving it by leaving to a far-off distant land where there was no way to communicate via text, email, or phone call, basically not caring at all about what had happened to his dad or older brother by going off to a far distant land, he now is starving. He's not sorry. He didn't realize the wrong he had done, but he knew enough to say, I have to go back to my father. It was for all the wrong reasons. He was just hungry. His apology was a lie. Father, forgive me. I have sinned against God and against you. Notice as he begins his fake apology, the father cuts him off. The father knows the son's here because he's hungry. I mean, you can look at him. He's filthy. He was tending swine. Of course, he had to have been disgusting and wretched. But the father doesn't care because it's not about you or me, sinners, and it's not about the prodigal son. It's about the mercy of the father. And so the father cuts him off and says, quickly bring the finest robe to cover him. A symbol that the father is protecting and providing for him now. We are covered in that robe on the day of our baptism when we're dressed in white. Bring the ring and put it on his finger. This wasn't just some bling. The ring was literally the credit card of that day. It had this crest on it, and you'd press it into wax to sign any kind of loan or purchase. Grab me the American Express Black Unlimited and hand it to this kid. The servants are going, what? Look at him. He blew all of his inheritance, wished you dead, took off, and you want to give him what? And quickly put sandals on his feet. Why? Because slaves were shoeless, so they couldn't run off and go far. The father's love and forgiveness for his son is reckless and irresponsible. But that's how the father loves. And oftentimes, we're so caught up in not accepting that love and recognizing our need for it, that then it transfers down to our spouse and our kids and our parents. Oh, Lord, give me a better people. You offered it to Moses. Can I get that offer, please? Listen to Paul in today's second reading. He recognizes that he was a persecutor of the Christians, arrogant, a blasphemer, the last who should deserve mercy from God. And it's true. The reason why Christianity spread beyond Jerusalem was because they were running away from Paul, who was rounding them up, having them imprisoned. It was at the hands of Paul and his direction that the first Christian was martyred, the deacon Stephen, stoned to death as Paul held their robes, as the people stoned him to death and watched, looking on. He was the first and greatest enemy of Christ after his death and resurrection. And yet it's to Paul that Jesus appears. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Paul, who was called Saul, never knew Jesus, never met him in life, but he saw him risen. And he realized that whatever he did to the least of Christ's brothers and sisters, he was doing to Jesus himself. And then God had to go to Ananias, who knew Saul was a great persecutor, evil, could have him killed and imprisoned. And God says, Ananias, go and pray over that man that may have arrested your family and had your friends tortured and killed. What? No, leave him blind. Hopefully he gets hit by a horse and dies. There were no trucks back then. No, but Ananias had to put aside his hurt or maybe anger or maybe unforgiveness and go to Saul and pray over his enemy. And in doing so, he receives his sight, not just physically, but spiritually. And he, the greatest persecutor of the Christian faith in the earliest moments of the church, becomes the greatest preacher of the gospel because of God's mercy and because he accepted it. When we don't go to confession, we refuse God's mercy and our hearts become hardened like the people of Moses' time. But God patiently waits and loves us anyway. When we refuse that great gift frequently, that is the sacrament of reconciliation, we do not know his mercy and his love, and we do not have what we need to give to others because we can't give what we don't have. The Father's merciful love is reckless and irresponsible because he can be. And it's for our sake and for our salvation that he does so. And so, regardless of why you're here, can you hear the Father speak his mercy over you and celebrate that you are here? He knows your reasons, good, bad, or otherwise. And yet he loves you anyway, and he feeds you now. He dressed you in the finest robe on the day of your baptism in white. He anointed you with oil on the day of your baptism and your confirmation, regardless of where you were or how you were. And now we are here in his house to celebrate this feast that he offers not just the fattened calf, but his very and only begotten son, given to you and me. We don't deserve it. And maybe some of you are angry Because people come here with all the wrong reasons, and they walk in with their Starbucks and they're chewing gum and they're answering their phone and they're not paying attention. And maybe you identify with the older son who should have celebrated that his brother was not dead. But the father, in his anger and self-righteousness and resentment, even goes out to him. He could have locked the older son out of the house. Oh, if you're going to be angry and brood when I'm the one who lost money, not you, then stay out there. No, he leaves the party and goes to his son, and the son's angry. Look, all these years, he resents that he has to follow all the rules. He doesn't do it because he wants to. He does it because he feels he has to. And maybe that's why you come every Sunday to Mass, and you have for years. And it's all the wrong reasons to come. But you're here. And because of that, the Father comes to you in word and sacrament and says, my son, my daughter, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. You no longer need to resent the rules and the laws. Just simply come because I love you. Come because I am merciful. Come because I give you what you do not deserve, so that you can give that to others who don't deserve it either. That is my mercy and my love. Every time another person comes to Mass, unprepared, ignorant, inappropriately dressed, or whatever it may be, if we have the heart of the Father, we would celebrate and rejoice, because that person who was dead has come back to the Father's house. Maybe for all the wrong reasons, like the prodigal son, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, because it's not about him or her or you or me. It's about the mercy of the Father. So yeah, could we, if we had a chance to pick our parents or our kids or our spouse again, or have our choice of the best options, and God himself was inviting us to go ahead and have a try, sure, we might be tempted. It would seem a lot easier just to do it that way. But we must have the heart that Moses did, to recognize, yeah, God, my wife, my husband, my parents, my kids, my life, it's not the way I would like it to be. It's not perfect by any means. And in fact, it needs a lot of help. But they're mine, and you've given them to me. And because of who you are, I will continue to be for them. Father, mother, husband, wife, son, daughter. All because God is our Father. And at the end of the day, it's not about the prodigal son or you or me. It's about the merciful Father. And that's why we're here.